Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Christian Philosophy 2, and of course, this follows Christian Philosophy 1, where I was basically dealing with the way that a Christian should think, a worldview or a paradigm concerning like theological issues. In this Christian Philosophy 2, what I've been talking about are social issues. First of all, I established that it is correct that Christians should have a philosophy and should speak out on social issues. And then last week, I dealt with a Christian philosophy or a way of looking at homosexuality. This week, I've been dealing with a Christian way of looking at abortion. And, you know, I've shared some very hard things. And I admit that the way I'm talking and having an opinion and being dogmatic about it and saying that this is absolute, this is what the Word of God says, I acknowledge that this is just totally different than the approach most people take, where they're is a lot of apology, and even Christians have been influenced by this to the point that we feel that we shouldn't be so strong and rigid in anything. And I've been very strong, and I've said some things based on Scripture that a child is a living human being from conception, and therefore it's not a matter of choice, it's a matter of murder. You do not have the right to take another person's life. And I've said some really strong things. I know that they're strong. But you know what? I don't see how you could have any other philosophy and still claim to truly believe the Word of God. I've already established these things from Scripture. If you've missed any of these programs, you ought to go back and get the materials that we're offering, because I have used a lot of Scriptures to establish what the Bible has to say about when life begins. What I want to do today, and this is kind of the method that I've used the last couple of weeks, I established about homosexuality from Scripture, which is obvious, but most people are just openly disregarding Scripture. So I went to all kinds of statistics that show how detrimental a homosexual lifestyle is, that it decreases the average lifespan over 20 years. And I compared that to smoking, that decreases the average lifespan 7 years. And yet we put warnings on cigarettes and we don't on homosexuality. There is a political bias against taking a stand on things such as homosexuality and abortion. And if they were just to look at the statistics, they would not do that. So I want to share some of these statistics with you about abortion. We've, like I said, already been dealing with it from a scriptural standpoint. Since abortion was legalized in the United States, and this is just in the United States alone, since 1973, there have been, as of January of 2009, 49 million, and I think it was 800,000. I don't have that figure right in front of me. And of course, but anyway, over 49 million abortions in the United States from 1973 until January the 1st of 2009. And of course, since that time, I think I can safely say we're averaging over 1.5 million abortions per year in the United States alone. And so it is very safe to say that there are well over 50 million abortions in the United States since the 1973 Supreme Court decision. And, you know, if you were to just look at this from an economic standpoint, let's at the moment just forget faith and forget all of those things, which I don't do, but I'm saying there's a lot of people that will not come to this conclusion based on just what the Bible says. They don't believe it. But if you looked at it just from a financial standpoint, think what would happen if we had 50 million more people. And remember, since 1973, this has now been over 36 years that we've been performing abortions. And so many, many, probably the majority of those would be in an age bracket where they would be producing finances. Think what it would do if we had 50 million more people in the system, and probably at least 30 million of those actually being wage earners, wage producers. Think what that would do to our economy. Think what that would do to Social Security, which one of the problems that's happening with Social Security is that we have more older people than we have younger people because we've aborted 50 million younger people. And therefore, the money flowing into the system is not equal to the money going out. And you hear this debate all of the time, but very seldom do people bring up the fact that if we had 50 million more wage earners in the system, we wouldn't even be having this discussion over the Social Security deal. Now, see, again, I'm not saying that these are the major concerns. With me, the major concern is what the Word of God says, and that it's the murder of an innocent child. But if you were to just look at it from a financial standpoint, if you were to look at it from the productivity standpoint and all of the gifts and the talents and the ability of these 50 million people that have been aborted, you know, if you were to look at it from a totally secular standpoint, I don't know how anybody could justify this level of abortion. As a matter of fact, I've got a number of stats here. And when the Roe versus Wade decision was made, and also Doe versus Bolton, these were two landmark cases that basically legalized abortion in the United States. The arguments that the pro-abortionists were making was that there was like as many as 5,000 to 10,000 abortions being done illegally in the United States per year. And I have some of the very people, I'm not sure that I'll take time to find all of this in this great mass of information I've got, but one is named Bernard Nathanson, and he was one of the leaders in the abortion right movement. He has since then admitted that when they were saying that there was 5,000 to 10,000 abortions being done in the United States illegally prior to 1973. He admits that those figures were totally false, that it is probably closer to 500 to 1,000, that this was inflated to make the situation worse. And part of the other things that they said were that if they legalized abortion, that abortion would probably actually go down, that child abuse would be decreased, and all of these kind of things. Well, here's some of the stats that prove these things. In the first number of decades, the first two decades after the legalization, the abortion rate in the United States skyrocketed to where now we're doing 1 million abortions per year plus. Also, after legalization, the number of child abuse cases in more than quadrupled. Or I'm not sure how to say that. Anyway, here's what it was. It reached more than 870,000 cases of child abuse in 2004. The number of births to unmarried women more than tripled, with more than 1.4 million births recorded in 2004. So here's my point. They were saying that this would decrease the number of single parent and unwed mothers having children. It would decrease child abuse. The exact opposite has been true. And some people who, again, hold a philosophy that morality has nothing to do with anything. It's all chemical and there should be just education and all of these things will solve it. Those people would come up at a loss to say why that happens. But it's very obvious from Scripture that when you cross a moral threshold and you no longer feel any conviction about killing an unborn child in the mother's womb, I mean, it ought to be the safest place on the face of the earth. Once you cross that threshold and you in your mind justify the murder of an individual, then I guarantee you it's very easy to justify abusing a child and looking at them as if they are somehow less than a full person because they are young or because they've done something wrong. It's very easy to see this if you look at things from a moral perspective. But these people were arguing that actually child abuse would go down if we increased abortion. In other words, let's just kill them, get rid of the unwanted children, and we wouldn't see as much child abuse. The exact opposite has been true. It was also argued that the number of births among unwed mothers would go down. It has quadrupled, tripled. It's just amazing how it's gone up. In 2003, 43% of women who had abortions in the U.S. had at least one previous abortion. And this is showing that it becomes a pattern. As a matter of fact, today, abortion is used by many women as just a form of birth control. No responsibility, no discipline, no taking responsibility for their own actions whatsoever. They go out and live a promiscuous lifestyle and use abortion as a form of birth control. And I know that there's going to be people who will criticize me over that and say, how dare you say that? There are a lot of married women who are using this and things. The stats are the majority of abortions are being done by single, unwed mothers who have not accepted responsibility and yet are going out and having sex with people and getting pregnant. And according to Scripture, that is immoral. Once you cross the line and you start being immoral and killing a child, I mean, if you can kill that child on the inside of you, what's to keep you from having relationships with whomever, whatever? I know that there's a lot of people don't like what I'm saying, but I'm telling you that this is the way that a Christian philosophy towards abortion should be. Here's some other facts. It says these hard cases, which are defined as where the life of the mother is in danger, there has been rape or incest, or they will talk about the health of the child. And when abortion was being promoted before the 73 Roe versus Wade decision that legalized it, this was one of the major arguments. They don't tell you about all of the teenagers, and I forget the exact figure here. I'm sure I've got it in these figures here someplace, but I think there's 28% to 30% of all abortions are done on young girls between the ages of 13 and 18. And it's totally promiscuous. But they were telling you that instead of bringing up these things and showing that people would use abortion just to kill unwanted children, instead they would bring up the cases, well, what about rape? What about incest? What about where the life of the mother is in danger? And according to the laws of 1973, you couldn't even get rid of the child. You had to do everything you could to save the child's life, even if the life of the mother was in danger. And they would bring up these isolated cases to be able to solicit sympathy and to make a point for abortion. Well, here are the stats that these hard cases where the mother life is in danger, or there was rape or incest, or what they consider the child has some predisposition to Down syndrome or something like that, and so they consider that the quality of their life is not going to be good. That only amounts for 1% of all abortions. There have been some studies that have increased that up to 2 point something, just under 3%. But any way you look at it, a fraction of all abortions are done because of risk to the mother's life, because of rape or incest. And I've used some of these stats already, but I've got friends who were raped and they decided that it was still a life. And they went ahead and had the child. And man, that child has been nothing but a blessing to them. I'm not saying that even rape and incest is a valid reason for abortion. I think that possibly if the mother's life is going to be in danger, well then, you know, that is a little bit of a different issue. If one of the two is going to die, well then there has to be some choice about which one. And you might be able to debate that. But I think that most godly people would sit there and give the priority to the child. But anyway, if you just look at this in the hardest case that you possibly can, around 1% of all abortions are done for what is called these hard cases. The rest of the reasons are they just don't want the pregnancy. They don't feel psychologically or financially able to handle it. It's an inconvenience. It's going to cramp their lifestyle. How can they continue to play and do the party scene and go from bar to bar and be this person that they choose to be if they are pregnant? And those are not valid reasons. And you know, I know that there's people upset with me because I'm saying this, but I'm telling you, these are the facts. These are the facts that you can get them even from the Planned Parenthood, anybody. These are just the facts. 1 to a maximum of 3% of all abortions are done for any reason that could possibly be justified. And again, I even believe that a very small percentage of those are truly justifiable. It says more than three quarters, that's 80% of all abortions are among unmarried women. What abortion has done has allowed people to go out and live an ungodly lifestyle and basically skip the consequences, or so they think. Boy, there's just so much to share. It says there are health risks and there are mental and emotional risks that go along with abortion that you aren't going to be told very often. It says women face a number of possible physical complications, including hemorrhage, requiring transfusion, perforation of the uterus, cardiac arrest, major unintended surgery, infection resulting in hospitalization, convulsions, undiagnosed tubal pregnancy, cervical laceration, uterine rupture, and death. As a matter of fact, here's another stat sheet that I have over here, and this says that legal abortion is reported as the fifth leading cause of maternal death in the United States. And then they have a footnote on this that even though this is the fifth leading cause, they believe it's probably a much greater cause of death, because when they have complications, if they get an infection and if hemorrhage and other things, it will be attributed to surgery, or it could be attributed to an infection, and it's not always reported as being abortion related. So if you take this into account, I think that the fifth leading cause is probably very generous in saying this. It's actually a lot worse than that. Breast cancer, the risk of breast cancer doubles after an abortion and rises even further with two or more abortions. And again, this isn't put out by some religious thing. This is talking about a medical fact that if you have an abortion, it increases your risk of breast cancer. The more abortions you have, the more risk it increases. Now, again, if there was some kind of a pill, if there was some kind of a food that you were eating, if there was any objectivity at all, well, then these people who are so concerned about all of these health risks and stuff would be crying against abortion. But that is not politically correct, and they don't want to do that. And so, again, it's hypocritical. Even from a secular standpoint, if you're just really concerned about the person, you would try and limit the number of abortions. Once a woman has had an abortion, it says abortion is associated with cervical and uterine damage, which may increase the risk of premature delivery, complications of labor, and abnormal development of the placenta in later pregnancy. These reproductive complications are the leading causes of handicaps among newborns. So not only is abortion killing the children, but then the women who have abortions have an increased risk of all of these pregnancy-related problems that cause handicaps among children. There's also a study here that studied 1,428 women and found that after a pregnancy loss that was from induced abortion, that they had a lower overall health among their counterparts. And it goes into quite a bit of detail on this. But one of the things it says that they visited their family doctors 80% more than the women who had not had an abortion, and 180% more for psychological reasons. You know, the psychological reasons are, to me, every bit as severe as all of these physical things, and yet most people are just ignoring this and talking about that there is no risk to you whatsoever. It says all women, especially young teenagers, are at risk for damage to their cervix during an abortion, which can lead to complications with later pregnancies. That's what that other stat that I was talking about was just deciding. It says a Finnish study of suicide after pregnancy found that suicide rate after an abortion was three times the general suicide rate and six times that associated with birth. Again, if there was any objectivity, if this wasn't biased, if people didn't have an agenda, and if they were to look at this abortion from only a human standpoint, not even factoring in the fact that the Bible teaches that this is a viable person and yet you're committing murder. If you were to just look at these things, the women who have abortions, they have three times, that's 300, the suicides, 300% the suicide rate of women who don't have abortions, and to those who have given birth, six times as much suicide as those who go ahead and keep the child and give birth. And on we could go. You know, I ran out of time. There is just a lot more. But the point that I'm trying to make is that any way you want to slice it, this is not only a religious issue. If you look at it from a moral standpoint, if you look at it from a statistical standpoint, just about the health of the woman, the complications that go with pregnancies after, the suicide, the depression rate, and all of these things. There is no justification for this. This is a harmful thing, not only to the child, of course, that is being murdered, but it's harmful to the woman. And again, there are people who will think that I'm just out and I'm trying to hurt people and I'm trying to condemn people. I'm trying to help you. I see an action that is not only killing an unborn child, but is damaging women. And I've known a number of women who've had abortions, and they have shared, and I've heard them firsthand talk about the hurt and the pain that it was to them. And I'm telling you, if you are in a situation where you're even considering this, or if you know someone who is, you have an opinion. You ought to look at this and you ought to reject abortion just on the basis of all of these physical, natural things, as well as what the scriptures have to say. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this teaching on Christian philosophy. Today will be my last day to offer this teaching about abortion. So listen as our announcer gives this information about how you can get these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The third teaching in the CD album titled Abortion is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP9C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to emphasize that we are going to continue to talk about this Christian philosophy part two, but the third teaching in this set that is teaching against abortion from scripture as well as empirical facts and data that anybody can get off the internet. This is our last day to share this teaching on abortion, and I'd like to encourage you, you need to get this. Even if you say, well, this doesn't relate to me, well, you've got an opinion. And I can guarantee you this comes up. And you need to make sure that your opinion is based on what the Word of God says and that you aren't just putting your light under a bushel and hiding it. You need to let it shine. So please get these materials. Today's our last day to offer you this third teaching in our set on Christian Philosophy 2.
You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I felt in my heart that as I was sharing there towards the end of our program today that there's some people that have had an abortion, and either you didn't realize these truths that I was talking about, or maybe you just went ahead and did it, but now you realize that you were wrong. And you know what? We love you, and God loves you, and God wants to forgive and restore you and help you to deal with that and get over it. And we've got people that will not only give you these materials that I've advertised, but they will also pray with you. There are people that will love you. Nobody's going to condemn you. They're here to help you. I'd like to encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen, request the materials, but also request prayer, and I believe it would really minister to you.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. If you're a regular viewer of Gospel Truth or you've seen our Destiny Stories DVD series, you're familiar with Leland Shores. Leland heard from God, pursued his destiny, graduated from Charis Bible College, and moved to Uganda, Africa to fulfill the plan of God for his life. This past summer, Leland and his new wife, Carol, returned to Colorado Springs to attend the 2009 Summer Family Bible Conference, where Leland had the honor of speaking before his mentors at CBC.
God has an opinion of us, and He has honored us, but He acknowledged us. He has acknowledged us. He has set us apart. Hallelujah. So that we can boast and glorify Him. We can't glorify God unless we've received His glory. And it is not a robe. It is a position.
Leland and Carol are back in Uganda and are currently in the process of establishing a Charis Bible College program in that African nation. Be sure and keep them in your prayers as they continue walking in the destiny that God has prepared for them.
There was a time in my life, and we'll start with, I went to church and that. But after I had my second son, I was getting into teaching in Ireland of sanctification and things like that. And I had a very bad time of that. And I was afraid of God. I was afraid of God. I was afraid to touch the Bible or go to church. I used to always shrink when I went into church for a wedding or a christening. I was so afraid of God. I thought He was really out to get me. And then whenever I heard Andrew talking, like, that sort of opened all the Word of God to me. I'm 84 years old now, and as I learned to live by that Word, and not just hear it, but to do what the Word said, it changed my life.